Martin, I wanted to talk to you about very specifically your role in the Welsh presence for the first time in Venice, and to really start off by asking how it came about that Wales had an independent presence in a space with four artists in the Venice Biennale this year.
Over the years, I think different people had suggested that Wales should have its own pavilion. I first went to Venice in 1993 and was sufficiently interested by what I saw to actually come back and suggest that to the part of the Arts Council of Wales that deals with international, Wales Arts International they're called. I did some research with the Irish commissioner to find out what sort of costs are involved, and when I told the person in Wales Arts International the sort of cost figures, you know, it was clear that that was not possible at that time. That was 10 years ago. The crucial thing was devolution. Politically, the creation of the Assembly and, well, a sense that things were becoming possible which were not possible previously in regard to Wales participating in events in its own right. And then political things like the fact that the Culture Minister, Jenny Randerson, she wanted to make her mark by putting Wales on an international stage culturally in the arts. She was committed to this in a written document, and I think Venice gave her the perfect stage. It suddenly became politically feasible. From that conjunction of events, you know, a report was commissioned by a consultant, Michael Nixon, and, you know, a steering group was set up. Because I'd been involved for quite a few years, I was asked to be one of seven members on the steering group. From there, we appointed a commissioner and a curator. Michael Nixon was appointed as commissioner and Patricia Fleming as curator. The steering group had a relationship from there on with the curator and the commissioner with a view to, you know, making as good an exhibition as we possibly could for Wales. One of the people that we were talking to in Venice, Vittorio Urbani, was identified by various parties that we sought advice from, you know, people like Ireland and New Zealand and that, as, you know, the person to speak to actually find out how to go about things. From contact with him came out the possibility that the former brewery in which Mike Nelson had his work in 2001 might actually be available. Wales had this fantastic space with which to work. You know, I think that was maybe a key element in what I hope was the success of the Welsh presence.
Can I just take up the fact of the Welsh presence in terms of the international stage? What do you think were the benefits of having a separate presence? After all, we have the British Pavilion. How important was that with artists representing Welshness?
Yeah. All the debates about what does national identity mean, what does participation on national lines mean, those are fine. But when you are a small country, what you realise is that the kind of parameters of the debates and the assumptions which underlie the discussions tend to be framed in terms which do not in any way reflect the fact that there are majority cultures and there are minority cultures, and that those in the majority cultures, however committed they are to a sort of international outlook and that sort of thing, they can often be blissfully unaware of how their assumptions and the parameters within which they frame the debate completely marginalise smaller cultures like Wales. Wales is only one example. I distinctly remember going to the discussions that were held in 2001. All the usual arguments trotted out about how meaningless it had become, and the commissioner of the Turkish presence, it was their first participation, was asked what she thought, and she said, look, you know, for a country like Turkey, this is a fantastic thing for the very first time to be able to participate on this international stage where all you people are here. And okay, you might be arguing about the fact that what does it mean and how outdated is this and all the rest of it, but the point is that we've always been excluded until now. You know, and that applies to Wales, obviously. What Venice represents is an opportunity to actually have those debates about our own culture placed in an international context. The conflation of Great Britain with England is far more common than people actually realise, you know. But to say there is England, but there is also Wales, there is a distinctive culture here, there are distinctive cultures here, that can feel quite important when there is no other forum, no other stage to actually do it. Realistically, the chances of an artist from Wales actually being shown in the British Pavilion are very, very small. And
why is that, do you
well,
think?
You could argue, well, there aren't artists in Wales of the right calibre. You know, that is an argument. I would argue differently, of course, but there is also an argument that the way in which the British artist is chosen, that process, if you like, is such that it will always tend to be an artist who will tend to be perhaps from London, who will tend to be working in a certain way which will reflect certain assumptions and certain forms of practice. You know, I'm not saying that one doesn't want to see them in Venice. You know, I can't remember going to Venice and not seeing a great exhibition in the British Pavilion.
Can we talk on that note then a little bit about the selection of the artists, as they were very specific artists with international reputations?
There was quite extensive procedure involved, which included publicising what was happening and asking all artists in Wales to send in details of their work if they wanted to be considered. All curators and exhibitions officers and so on to actually put forward suggestions. The criteria were, as I've suggested, you know, people who are actually living or working in Wales, or were from Wales but living outside. In the end, if you think about the four artists that were selected, there was actually a quite conscious decision over those artists and the work that they produced, because Paul C. Wright had a kind of conventional type exhibition of work on the walls in the main gallery space. Kerithwyn Evans, he did The Searchlight, which was an installation, an event. The sort of key part of it lasted for those 4 or 5 days of the opening and then was represented by a smaller kind of trace of what had happened. Beth Ann Hughes, hers was a film which was just for the opening few days. And Simon Pope's, his was a residency that both preceded the opening of the exhibition and continued during the Biennale. So there was a very conscious process of selecting work by those artists in a very complementary way. Welshness and Wales, it's a very complex thing. You know, an artist like Beth Ann Hughes, she's from near here, she was brought up on a farm. The moment she opens her mouth, you realise that she didn't learn English to a relatively late stage in her life. OK, she's lived in Paris for 10 or 15 years, I don't know. But, you know, she is profoundly Welsh. Kerithwyn Evans, he's part of, clearly, the London art scene. I've seen his work in Yokohama. You know, you see work in all these sort of, you know, but he's Welsh-speaking. And, you know, he has made work which was to do with the part of being from Wales and Welshness in who he is, you know. Likewise, Paul C. Wright, he's lived in Wales nearly 10 years now. He's part of Welsh society. You know, to start talking about what this does or doesn't mean about Welsh identity, it's a very, you know, you're on very dangerous ground here. The fact that, you know, two of the artists were not living in Wales, it has provoked discussion here in Wales. But one of the things that will be obvious to many people, to people who go to Venice, is the fact that if you take other pavilions, especially of smaller countries, then as often as not, the people are not actually living in that country. You know, I mean, Ireland is an example. They quite frequently have artists who are living not in Ireland. Jamaica had a pavilion back in 2001 for the first time. I was very interested in that pavilion. Three artists, none of whom were living in Jamaica. That's a reflection of the fact that in small countries, people, not just artists, but people often have to go and live in other countries, bigger countries, to actually make a living. And as we know, people who work in art, in culture generally, tend to be attracted to urban centres, the major cities, you know. So, I mean, it should be no surprise at all that artists from smaller countries gravitate to other centres. I think what's very interesting, from my point of view, what motivates those artists who choose not to do that, but who make a decision to locate in what, from an artistic point of view, is ostensibly very unpromising territory, like, you know, rural North Wales. If there is something in their makeup and in their mentality and their sense of who they are that causes them to locate in North Wales, whether they come back to live here, whether they continue to live here, or whether they move to here, you know, that is something I'm interested in. But in terms of showing in Venice and so on and so forth, you know, it shouldn't be any surprise to anybody really that people from small countries, artists from small countries, often end up living in other bigger countries.